You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sitting here on Off the Edge, the podcast, with a man that needs no introduction, a former NFL MVP, a man who can still sling the rock, and we know he can do it if he gets a chance to do it. Yeah. Somebody who's been a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, NFL MVP, should have been, you know, is the number one draft pick of the most elite draft class to ever have been in existence in the 2011 draft class. Yes. You know, from a Cam to a Cam in a draft that had 3 Cams. We're just missing the other one. You know, it was a Cam trifecta at the time, and here we are, a Cam duo with Cam Newton, the man, the legend himself, Mr. Game Changer, 2-game manager at the most relevant time of our NFL experiences.
Listen.
What else can I say that you don't speak for yourself?
We can say that we can enjoy each other's company now.
I've always enjoyed your company.
No, like, I didn't enjoy yours.
Yo,
you know what I'm saying?
Meant to be a troll.
I think for you, bro, and I was having this conversation with Matt Ryan yesterday. Tell me a more competitive division.
Right.
During that 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17 NFC South.
There wasn't. How could there have been? You felt animosity at every level.
Every out of, what is it? Two, out of 8 games a year. That's half your schedule.
Right.
You know, like, the Saints coming.
Yeah, not even locked in. Oh, it's blood in the water.
It's like, bro, tighten your up. Oh, can I?
Yeah, you grown.
Tighten your up because Roman Harper, Petty King.
Woo.
Like Jinx, Petty King. Like all that pettiness. Also to mention, don't. I said, oh my
God. Bro. Yeah.
It was one of those times where it's like, bro, you got to tighten your up, because not only are they gritty, they have that continuity that a lot of teams miss. When I think about great defenses, it's hard not to mention you guys is kind of rain in that stint compared to the Baltimore Ravens, compared to the 49ers at that particular point in time. It was just at a unit that thrived off opportunistic and was able to create pressure with just a 4-man rush.
Man, and it was a time to be had.
To be had.
Like, you know, there was times there was a touchdown that I think you had in the end zone, in the Superdome. Yeah. You did the patented, hey,
open up
the chest, shoulder, you know, open up the Superman vibes. And I was like, man. And you, like, low-key passed by me and, like, had brushed me. And I was like, this brush can't happen. So it was like, I bumped you, like, made sure it wasn't a brush. It was a bump. And you looked at me and, like, turned around and he did one of these. And my guy, Curtis Lofton, and, like, went up to push you. Next thing you know,
Brandon Williams.
Yeah,
Brandon Williams
went to go push Curtis Lofton. I saw him go
and
after
and I found myself in the back of the end zone.
It's 30 people fighting. Next thing you know, I went to, like, grab Mike Tolbert. And you can't grab Mike Tolbert. I wait at 5'7".
He's a tree stump. He's a fire hydrant.
And so next thing you know, we're out here sprawled out fighting in the back end zone. It's times like that you really enjoy the rivalry. And that's what makes it feel like a rivalry.
You know, the thing, I know our rivalry was one to kind of consider. But being from Atlanta, I don't think that there's a better rivalry than Atlanta and New Orleans.
Absolutely.
No, like that's
I hate
a,
them. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things that it's deeper than football in that thing. Because when Katrina hit, a lot of New Orleans natives came to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that type of connectivity back to the city of New Orleans and Atlanta, yeah, that merger, and to have a football game, that's where it was like a little kind of different. And I only know that because I'm a native of Atlanta and right. seeing that type of, you know, energy in the city for that particular time.
Man, you know, that energy alone, this just makes you like want to be a villain towards Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just our division alone, like, made me want to be a villain towards you because you were a menace towards everybody else. Yeah. Like, you warm up on other people's sidelines. I'm like, just looking, I was like, everything about him, like, you had to go after him. And so that being said, now you know, I'm in the podcast world. You've clearly got your podcast.
Yeah.
Is that a rivalry hood? Like you've got
never.
That's your podcast. Tell me more about it. Cause you sit down with the cigar. Yeah. You got the lounge. You're
that's the only thing I'm missing right now. I mean, I got it close by. It's just being authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think for my whole career, a lot of people have always had the question: is Cam Newton real? Is this an energy that, like, what is he?
Yeah.
We're not used to seeing this type of energy on the field. Folks aren't able to see a quarterback play and have fun and dance and jump around. And, like, is that real? Like, what the f- is that? Like, we can't. Right. Uh-uh. So I've always had to protect, you know, my sanity, but also protect what I was playing for. Franchises, brands, players, coaches. And now in podcasting, it's like, I don't give a damn. Like,
right.
let's like,
and you're gonna say,
bring on the problems, bring on the
absolutely.
Yeah, it's like one of them things that, and I enjoy it, bro. And I think
it's not that you haven't been you.
Yeah,
now you just uncut.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you're in this position, I'm able to tell these type of stories, you know, in an unfiltered way, not to protect anybody's image. Anybody who knows me know, like, I still keep the bro code.
Absolutely.
But I'm able to tell it more, like, uncut in a way that's like, yo, I could tell that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just had, you know, a conversation with Greg Olsen, bro, and we just talking about certain things, and it's like, damn, dog, like, I missed that.
Absolutely.
And they asked me, like, yo, bro, are you coming back? I don't know.
Right.
Like, I'm different. Like, I'm a family man now. You know what I'm saying? I got children. I got kids that expected me to be home when they come back from school. And
well, it can't be a rivalry, because you know what we're gonna do? I'm just gonna shoot over to your podcast, and we're gonna continue this
joint.
So if you want part two to this, part one, check me out at Off the
part
Edge
two
podcast
of the Cams.
Part two of the Cams,
the Cam duo. Apostrophe S.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are, my podcast, Off the Edge, with me, your host, Cam Jordan. And it feels like a variety show because I get to see all these legends and media row at the Super Bowl. And I'm sitting here with a future Hall of Famer, a man who played 20 years in the league between the Cincinnati Bengals. Some people call him Bengals. I call them Bengals. And the Los Angeles Rams winning a Super Bowl with them. And then walking off in style after the win with the Super Bowl and the babies, had the kids there, sitting there like, my work is complete.
Done.
Andrew Whitworth.
What up, baby?
Man, I appreciate you tapping in.
Man, happy to be here, bro. What a week, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, as a watch guy myself, I look down at the Panerai. I'm like, I like it.
Yeah, come on, man.
But
actually, when you're a big fella, you got to have a couple accessories, you know, because everybody see you like, God, this dude's huge. And you know, you need a little something to kind of, you know.
Yeah, a little accoutrement, if you will. But sitting here, you know, you started off in Louisiana. So we have our Louisiana connects here. You're living out in Los Angeles, a place that I hope to one day get to. But the tax bracket, the way the taxes work, I'm going to be right there in Arizona.
Yeah, I understand that.
But you're here Media Week, clearly went to NFL Honors. Do you still enjoy going to the honor shows?
Well, I gotta say, first off, unbelievable. That was so good. What a skit. I imagine they had to kind of like let you know that was going on, and there might have been a little like, we doing what,
man?
But that was cool. Was good,
and that's exactly what happened. They're like, Cam, you're gonna present this award. I said, dope. Kirk Cousins gonna be with you, great. Hey, we got a little something special for you, awesome. 24 hours before, hey, rehearsal, we got these dance moves. Excuse me. I know how to pass rush. all right.
No, I thought it was awesome, dude. I actually thought it was probably one of the best honors I've seen. I thought really the whole show was awesome.
Cirque du Soleil started off.
Yeah, I mean, it's Vegas, so yeah, it is. It's easy to kind of pull some of that off, but gosh, it was great, I thought.
Man, it's awesome, especially when you talk about you being a Walter Payton Man of the Year winner a couple years back. Just tell me about what it means to win, because I mean, I've been nominated 3 times, but as a winner, does it change the perspective? Does it change the perception of?
I don't think so. I think what's cool, and I think sometimes, you know, you think about those awards, we talk about the winner, and, you know, obviously Cam Hayward, unbelievably deserving, a tremendous human being. I've had a chance with Thursday Night Football now to have them a couple years in a row and get to kind of tell his story and things that he does in the community. But I think also, to me, we get lost in those other 31, and it's like, man, all those guys are doing such amazing Absolutely. Stuff. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of this league. And one of the rarest things I think about our business is that I don't know how many businesses in the world that the people who are benefiting from that business also are spending so much of their time investing all that back into the communities they play in, the communities they came from. I just think there's such a spirit of pay it forward in our league that I just think is really cool that people feel that vibe from these players when they come to these shows. These guys love what they do. They have a passion to be great at it, but they also have a passion for everyone else that they can help achieve those dreams that they want as well.
Absolutely. I always think about like just the highlight you're putting. You're like, I didn't even know he did that type of work. Like how many guys are going out their way to give their time, effort, you know, beyond just money, but just the ability to give back to the community, for raise awareness for their causes. And as much as I do, I feel like I'm always re-inspired.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I got to do more. I was like, it's sort of like a competitive to give back mode. It's like,
yeah, it is. I think, you know, this, like when you get nominated, you see the other guys that get nominated and you go read what they're doing. And you're like, dang, I need to get on
all
it. Like,
I'm doing is giving up the 2 days, or all I'm doing like, is like becomes a.
I always felt challenged. Like, all right, I can do more. Like every time. And I think that's the cool nature of our league is it doesn't matter if we're competing on the field for wins or we're out there saying, hey, how can we affect the community and make a difference for people around us? Let's be the best at it. And I think that's a nature and a vibe and a culture that we've started. And that award, and obviously Walter Payton set the precedent for all of us. That is a great thing for our league.
Absolutely. Tuning this back to football, you know, wrapping up the award show. But there was a record number of sacks that happened this year. And as a defensive lineman, I love it. And as after the season I had, I hated it because, I mean, I got injured week 11. It was sort of just like, just a run stopper this year. And it hurt my feelings. I was like, they're letting go sacks. And here we are. You know, what do you think as an offensive lineman, like how did that come about? Is it timing from quarterbacks? Is it the lack of technique because offensive linemen are getting fatter and slower?
You know, I think that there's a mixture of reasons, but I think one of the things that's affected the game too is that you could see the drop back game living in the shotgun world.
Right.
I think you know this as a rusher. It's a much different world when he's under center, and you kind of got to think there might be a combination of things that could happen on a play. And when they're going to be sitting back there at 8 yards and you know it every single play, it kind of gives you an opportunity to say, hey, I know where he's going to be and I know what I got to do to get there. And so I think there's the nature of that's changing. And then also you look at it, really the true pocket passing quarterbacks, like there's just not as many that are just going to sit there and stay there. There's a lot of guys running around now, moving. They're being encouraged to, hey, I don't know what coverage it is,
but you also don't know where your guy is because you're
Yeah, and the quarterbacks are moving. So those guys, those ball in their hand longer always leads to more sacks. So I think that we're going to see that. But I think eventually, like, you're going to see a turn because obviously it's been a point of emphasis, like improving offensive line play. And I talked to Roger Goodell actually a few weeks ago about how do we continue to make that an emphasis, because it's just a challenge. You look at youth sports, always say, let's go back to where it starts.
Yeah.
You know, everything's kind of flagged now. A lot of guys are being pushed, so less contact, less hitting. So you're taking away really developing linemen at a young age.
Right.
And then college football, that game's completely changed. I mean, they don't block any of the plays that they're going to block in NFL football and college football anymore. And then in the pro game, we've taken away their off seasons. We've kind of taken away a lot of like that time in camp and those hitting days that they got to train to be a lineman, because it's just a different position. And so I think you really look at it on the back end and the front end, we've kind of taken a lot of the reps that develop these guys to be who they are. And so that's the challenge. And I think we got to find ways we can improve there.
Yeah. What it takes 1,000 hours to master a craft. And now you're working with like 500 from even the time I got into the league.
And think about it. Obviously, offensive linemen are not the best athlete on the field. But when you start talking about pound for pound, moving bodies like that, who they are, it's one of the rarest positions in the world, because it's the only one where you play with your back to the ball. Like, you are literally basing off of what you hope is happening behind you
right. And
playing a position. So it's awkward to learn. So it takes time to understand the body positions and really the feel that you've got to know without ever being able to see what's happening behind you.
The nuances to the game.
Yeah.
Man, I can hear
him. He's getting. Look at it. I got him. He's swaying. He's kind of like got a little soft spot right now. He's like, dang, old lineman.
No. See, as much of a chagrin I have against an offensive lineman, it's because I started off that way. Like nobody wants to be an offensive lineman. Like started off like small ball as like linebacker safety.
Oh yeah.
And then got to high school and was like offensive lineman. No.
Yep. I do it with my youth kids. My kids team. I coach my kids. Every kid on the team, I'm like, listen, you guys don't want to play O-line, y'all got to go find some bigger kids, because whoever you are that's the biggest, you're playing O-line. That's just what it is.
And so, you know, once I had my chance, I was like, D-line, and I'm never coming back.
Yep.
You know, 100%. But just beyond that, you know, beyond the offensive line play and even, you know, the amount of sacks that happened this year, because I was excited about it. Just think about the rules that are affecting this game. You know, we talk about the time that's affected the game, the rules that are affecting this game. You know, the line judge being behind the offensive line, so – now it seems like, you know, offensive linemen are clearly getting away with jumping off sides. We're not going to say there's an offensive tackle on the Super Bowl contending team that like leads the charge in that. But this the way the game is evolving and the rules, how are guys? Is it affecting guys being coached, and is it affecting technique?
Yeah, I think you look at it. There's obviously some big ones that are coming up this offseason. I mean,
right.
Defensively, the hip drop tackle stuff. You know, we're talking about the line of scrimmage after the Kadarius Toney play and really even on the other side with Juwan Taylor in the right tackle and his depth that he sits in his stance at.
I mean, depth is crazy that nobody talked about it. I'm like, he's not even – like, he used to have to be within, the hip length of the center. These guys are out here like a flying V formation.
They are, and it's blowing me away, because throughout my career, it was always like first series of the game, I'm annoyed the guys coming over telling me, like, make sure you scoot up. And it's just blown me away that they've been able to get away with it. Like, we've kind of eliminated what that real line is anymore. And so I think there's some things that need to get fixed, but also like we can't just continue to say we're going to keep taking things out of the game and taking hits out of the game. And it's just like, as a player, you're like, man, I am so confused how you want me to even possibly play the game.
Right.
I can't imagine being a defender right now and saying like, what exactly is my strike zone? Now, not only do I not have a strike zone, now you're going to tell me how I can fall and how I can dictate how I drop on a tackle. Like, to me, it makes zero sense. It's like, I don't know how you think. And I think that's the problem, maybe. I don't know. I think they think you're thinking while you're doing these things. It's like you're playing a game like an animal. You're a tiger
trying to
get your prey on the ground.
Right.
Like, there's no thinking going into this. So I got to process while I'm trying to tackle somebody.
I'm about to hit a quarterback. But is it within two steps of him releasing the ball? Oh, I've got to hit a quarterback. And as I'm smacking him with all my force, before he hits the ground, let me turn and then give myself an AC sprain so this quarterback's okay.
Yeah, my general rule of thumb is like, I want to see egregious things called. Outside of that, like, if it's debatable, like, I don't want – if it's debatable, let's not call it.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
That's literally how, like, how I've always felt about rules. Like, let him play. Now, if it's one of those, like, all right.
Yeah.
Sit your butt down. Like, that's a flag. If it's one of those, like, was he in the gray area? Well, if you don't let that play and let us have fun.
100%.
Come on, make it fun again. You know, with your legacy intact, you playing 20 years, you've seen a lot of things come and go. You retire and what is it, 2 years out? It's two years now? Sheesh. The end of the era of the Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll situation.
I know.
You know, like an end of an era. Does that even sit right? Like, does it feel weird to know Bill Belichick? Like,
I think it's wild to think about we go into next fall – and there's no Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and even Nick Saban. I think like you just kind of like in your mind, you think of college football, you think of pro football. You're like, all right, I'm going to see something about Nick Saban this fall. I'm going to see something about Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. Like it just it's wild to think the next fall you're going to enter that world. And it's man, it's unbelievable because obviously people could say whatever they want about the time when Tom's been gone. Whatever. Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches that's ever coached in the NFL.
Period.
That's it. And then, you know, Pete Carroll, his legacy is unbelievable. I mean, talking about a guy, not just an unbelievable coach, but could rally a football team in a time where you're like, man, the Seahawks are done. They got no chance. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we're playing the best team in the NFL when you walk out there. And it's something magical he was able to do to create this spirit with his football team. And then obviously Nick Saban, you know, I was his first recruiting class at LSU. Got a chance to play for him there, won a national championship.
Way back.
So to watch him walk away, man, always like one of the guys who had the biggest influence on me in my entire life. And Bill used to always come to our facility in the off seasons when I was in college there.
Yeah.
Just being around those two guys, rare coaches, man. And I know a lot of influence on who I am.
No doubt. Well, I appreciate you tapping in. I ain't going to hold you up too much longer. You know, I feel like today's podcast is like a variety show. We got a lot of greats, a lot of legends going through. And I'm so happy that you were able to find some time to sit down with the kid on Off the Edge, the podcast.
Appreciate it, man. You're an absolute legend yourself, man. One of the most unbelievable careers on the edge of anybody.
I appreciate you, my guy.
Appreciate you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.